Okay, now let's turn to page 81.
Over, he morning.
Morning.
Eddie Jones was giving me that toothy grin, and I was kind of nervous. He's behind me. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Had good class, as always. Thank you for coming. Thanks to all of our teachers. I know everyone did have some good classes. Welcome to our visitors. We're glad you're here, and our desire here today is to worship God in spirit and truth, and we invite you to join in with us as we do the best that we can to serve Him here at Oak Hill. The weather's gorgeous. Absolutely. Yesterday was a marvelous day, and as you know, I'm going to be leaving, Cindy and I, Tuesday, and we're going up where it's cold, real cold, and there's still a lot of snow, and she was trying to pack for a little trip, and I think she's got 4 bags worth of long johns and hoodies, so maybe I'll get her back without her turning into an ice cube. I don't know. Jeff, I'll think about you while I'm up there. Pardon?
Might have to.
Well, we'll miss y'all while we're gone, but we're looking forward to our little trip. Let's see. We have some announcements coming up. This evening, okay, when at 6 o'clock this evening, we will have singing fellowship. So we'll gather over here and we'll sing for about an hour or so, I don't know, however how much you want to sing. And then we'll have refreshments across the way, so come back for that. Wednesday nights now in the summer, we are on ice cream instead of regular food for the kids. Joe and Rosie are going to bring the ice cream for this Wednesday. The sign-up sheet is full, by the way. It won't be long. This summer's flying by. It won't be long till we'll be back to our regular schedule. Next Sunday, the 7th, Brother Flynn Cattell will be back with us. As I will be gone, as I've said, and Brother Jeff will be doing the Wednesday night Bible story for the kids. I appreciate it, Jeff. Next Sunday morning, as you come, and the offering plate is passed twice, be for the building fund. So if you're not familiar, the building fund has done a lot of remodeling, upkeep, air conditioning for the gym, a lot of things, so come prepared for that. We still got a lot of stuff we need to do here. Got some things coming up, so keep that in mind. Today is the last day for the update on the church directory. And the directory is not a membership role list. So if you are involved here or if you're coming and you want to add your name, email address, whatnot, please feel free to do so. We're going to get those updated, and it's easier for us to keep up with each other that way. All right, this morning, nursery attendants, Cindy and Jerry. Next Sunday, Sam and Donna. All right, there's something in the air. I don't know if it's hedge bushes or what, but it's really been, as you know, my voice is not the best in the world anyway, but this week's been especially bad, so y'all bear with me, and we do the best that we can. Any other announcements? Okay, business meeting, because that would be next Sunday, will be postponed for a week. Keep this in mind. That's our annual meeting, so it's not election night.
It's election night.
Okay, I misspoke. It is the election, our annual election of officers and teachers. So I would advise you to be here, lest you might get something voted upon you. It's important we come to business meetings anyway, so keep that in mind. Anything else?
Page number 137.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, thank them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, thank them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one
Everybody, I think I've got Fred taken care of, but you never know. It's good to see everybody out this morning. I see a lot of pretty smiling faces out there, and that looks really good. We're going to sing a special for you this morning, an old tune called I'd Rather Have Jesus.
Riches untold, I'd rather have Jesus.
good to be here this morning. Thanks to Travis and Sue, we have these beautiful flowers up here, these red, white, and blue. This Thursday, as I know you're all aware, we celebrate our independence. What a day that was in the world history. I'm so thankful for this great nation that we live in. And we'll talk about it just a little bit this morning because I won't be here next week. But I'd like to start back a little bit earlier, some 284 odd years before the founding of this great nation. As y'all know, I do not believe in coincidence. I believe that God has a purpose in everything that happens is for His honor and glory. I believe that we can be a part of that when we choose to follow God's will in our life. And He'll bless us when we do. Everything that we have today, and we have a lot. We have a lot to be thankful for. Everything that we have today is because God has a plan for mankind. I'm just thankful to be a small part of it. In 1492, Christopher Columbus set out on what many thought was a suicide mission. As you know, if you've heard me preach much, you know that I enjoy history because the history really lets us know who we are and where we've came from and where we're at today. My daddy used to tell me that we learn from our mistakes. I've said many times, I'm going to be a really smart fella someday because I've made a lot of them. But we as a nation have made our fair share of mistakes as well, and we need to learn from them and focus on where God would have us go. 1492, it's been a few days. Columbus set out on this journey. When many in the world at that time thought that this earth was flat. Y'all remember your history back in those days? Many of the people that lived at that time thought that if you sailed far enough, you would just sail off the end of the earth and never be seen again. But Columbus had a vision. And it took him many years to accomplish that vision, but through much hard work and persistence, he received a commission and the ships to venture forth on probably one of the greatest journeys that mankind has ever been on. He took the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. And that was his little armada, if you will. And that's where it all started. 1492. My daddy used to have a saying about that. I remember it from a little kid. Part of it went like this. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I won't go to the rest of it, but I've remembered that all these years. The Santa Maria was the flagship of that armada. I remember it because for a science project one time when I was in high school, I built a replica of the Santa Maria, and that was quite an undertaking. All the rigging and the mast and everything that went along with it. I don't know what happened to it. I wish I had it back. But that helps me remember part of the plights of our early explorers. Because, you know, today, how many of y'all have ever been on a cruise? I've been on one. The ship that I was on, I think it was 75 foot from the bottom deck you could get out on. To the waterline, and one night when we were sailing back in toward the United States, I got to feeling the ship doing this. This is a big ship now, and those waves were coming nearly plumb up to the top of that, 60, 70 foot swells. Can you imagine that on a little boat like the Santa Maria? It was about 100 foot long, maybe I think about 90 actually, about 35, 40 foot wide. The Nina and the Pinta were smaller, about half that size. I can think that Mr. Columbus and his crews out on the big ocean might have regretted leaving at times. Swells like the ones that we were on on that cruise ship would have been pretty tumultuous for those little boats. I've been on a few fishing trips in the deep sea fishing. I think it was on a 40-foot boat one time. The ocean was bad enough to we would go plumb out of sight. You couldn't see nothing but waves on both ends of you. And I'm thinking about the little sailboat that Columbus was on. Now, what a journey. I can't even imagine that. They didn't have GPS like we do now. I mean, if y'all are going on a journey, right, you get a GPS or, you know, our phones nowadays. I'll punch in an address. It's going to tell me to turn left in a quarter of a mile, da-da-da. They didn't have any of that. But they had something that was greater than that, and that was God's purpose. They left wondering if they would ever see home again. Many of them probably didn't think they ever would. One of Columbus's quotes that I'm fond of is this, and I quote, "No one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior. If it is just, and if the intention is purely for His holy service," unquote. That was Columbus. You think God might have had a little bit of a hand in the journey that he undertook? God had a plan, and as we know it today, Columbus discovered the New World. And although it took years for the New World to be colonized, many things happened before our forefathers came and landed. The Santa Maria, the flagship, was damaged in the first voyage. It never made it back. But one of them was left piled on those two little ships, and they went back. Columbus made two more journeys to the New World in his career. I can't think of, you know, I'm thinking one time across and I made it back. Maybe that's enough, but he didn't do it. He came on back. Now, many of our forefathers, if not all of them, everybody in this room, left everything that they had and came across this same ocean on ships probably not much bigger, if any bigger, than what Columbus sailed in, and came over here to this new world to start a new life because of a religious persecution, both. Can you imagine that, what they gave up to come over here? My ancestors, like many of yours, were some of the first to come across and land, and they came over here and they had absolutely nothing but themselves and God. And they whittled out just a little corner of this wilderness, and they made it through hardships, famines, pestilences. They battled Indians, everything that they went through, and made this great nation what it is today. The British government claimed ownership of this vast land that we call America, and over the time as it prospered, imposed heavy tariffs and taxes, and many of them remained loyal to the king, but many rebelled and fought against tyranny. After all they had risked for the freedom to come over here and be able to choose to worship God in spirit and in truth and to live a life of freedom, heavy taxes and tariffs were placed upon them, but many brave people came forth so that we might have the freedoms that we have today. On July the 2nd, 1776, the Continental Congress declared our independence from the rule of Britain and denounced their authority over us. We celebrate July the 4th because that's the day that it was announced, but it was actually signed on the 2nd. 243 years ago, this Thursday, we celebrate our independence. The Continental Congress declared the 13 American colonies united, free, and independent. My hat goes off to our forefathers for their freedom, their bravery, and their foresight. But mostly I'm thankful to God for what He has given us. There is no doubt in my mind that God saw to the forming of this great nation. I don't believe in coincidence. And if you'll look at the writings of our forefathers and at the drafting of our Constitution, if you don't see God's hand in that, you're not reading the same documents I am. Excuse me. This nation was set up on godly principles by God-fearing men who believed that all men had the right to be able to worship God freely in spirit and in truth. You know, we look back on them and we think, well, you know, they rebelled and they won. But I want you to think for just a moment of what they suffered and of the penalties if they had failed. They gave up caring for their farms, and it wasn't like it is to now, today. You couldn't go to Walmart and buy beans in a can. If the crops didn't get harvested and put up, they went hungry. They had meat to be cured for the winters, and this freedom that we enjoy was important enough to them till they set all that aside and they led the fight to freedom. They also were considered traitors to the king. And that being said, you know what the penalty for treason is? Death. So they placed their lives in their own hands and the lives of their families, so that we might have what we have today. May we never forget it. 243 years ago, and we're still able to meet in a building like this and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're still able to freely gather without fear of persecution and proclaim that our God is sovereign. Although many of our freedoms are being attacked, I want you to know something this morning. God is still in control. God is still protecting us. And God will bless those who choose to serve Him. I got a question for you this morning. Just answer it to yourself. How long has it been? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and thanked God that you were born or are a free American citizen? You know, sometimes I think we forget what those that went before us have given so that we might have these freedoms. And we forget that God has blessed us to be a part of the greatest nation that this world has ever known. We have our problems, yes. But I want you to know something. Everybody throughout the world would give everything that they have to be where you're at today. Thank you, God. I hope you thank Him as much as I do. Our forefathers, through the power of God, had a vision. And we're living that great dream today. May we never forget it. Think about that for just a minute or two with me. The most powerful army in the world, Britain. The mightiest navy, most powerful armed forces ever assembled to that time, amassed against a bunch of farmers, armed mostly with pitchforks, farm implements. They had a few weapons that they used to hunt with, but nothing like what the British Army had. And they fought. And they fought. And they starved. And they froze. And they fought. And God saw them through the victory. You see, God has always had a plan for this great nation, and He still does. God has blessed us. He has seen us prosper, and He has seen this nation, through His guidance, become the greatest nation in the world. I'm thankful to be a part of that. I'm thankful to stand before you this morning and proclaim that my God has given me the greatest gifts that man could ever have. Being a part of this nation, but most especially His Son, Jesus Christ. The plan was that America, through her greatness, through her prosperity, could spread the gospel throughout the world. For 243 years, He's kept us safe. He has kept us with the ability, the means, and the purpose to fulfill His will through thick and thin, through good times and bad. God still has a plan. Here we are, still free, still able, and still have the ability to accomplish God's will. This Thursday, would you please, in all the festivities, take just a few minutes out of your busy schedule and get down on your knees and thank God for what He's done for you and for me. For those who fought and gave their all for our freedom, I thank you. For those who are still fighting so that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy, I thank you. And may God bless you in your endeavors. But most of all, this morning, I give thanks to God for the forming of and the keeping of this great nation. Folk, we're being attacked from every corner in our great nation that we live in today. And people are attacking Christians because we stand for the beliefs that our forefathers saw to, that we had down through the years, the truths of God's Word. But we're going to win this battle because Jesus has already won. When He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave, raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven on high. Those of us who have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we won. You won. You have the victory. May we stay strong. May we stay focused on God's will in our life. I never think of these thoughts that I have about our great nation without thinking about the power of God. And also, I always go to Matthew 28, the Great Commission. I'm not going to read it this morning, but it basically says, Jesus speaking, all power is given unto me under heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, preach and teach, and baptize. That's what we're here for, church. To spread the gospel to this great nation and beyond. The future in our nation maybe don't look as bright as it has in the past. But I want you to know something. This is still the greatest place to be in the world. And God still has a plan. Amen. We're facing obstacles, but we have hope because of the power of God. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. That applies to us today. He's talking to His people there. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's what God has for us. Thoughts of peace for an expected end. And that end is to spend eternity in the presence of God. Romans 8 and 31 says this. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Be of good cheer, my friend. As we look around the world, it would be real easy to get depressed and all the political issues that are going on in this great nation. And, you know, we can pick up sides and even take up arms, I guess, against each other. But know this, God still has a plan, and God's plan will still come to fruition. But focus on God and let all this other stuff work itself out, because God's plan is for us to have peace and harmony through His Son, Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer. God's plan isn't that you can have everything that you want or imagine in this life. Remember, our wants and our needs are mixed up. God's plan is that we can have beyond our wildest dreams eternally the things that He wants to bless us with in His presence. Walk and talk in the cool of the day. I believe that eternity is going to be much, if not just like it was in the Garden of Eden when God walked and talked with Adam and Eve. That has always been God's plan for man, to spend eternity with us in a physical and a spiritual relationship. A little old thing called sin messed that up. But let me tell you, God's plan has not changed for America or for you, His people. One of these days. Turn with me, John chapter 14. I love John 14. What a scripture. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that these are red. Jesus Himself speaking. Starting verse 1. Listen to what God says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Do we know the way? Well, I do. There is only one name under heaven given whereby men must be saved, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten Son of God. I thank God for this great nation that He allowed me to be a part of. But most especially, I thank God for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, so that I truly can have freedom. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And God has better things in store for us than even we can imagine. Oh, we live such a wonderful, blessed life in America today. I look back and I see that all of us have been blessed greatly. The best is yet to come if you know Jesus Christ. This morning, you're blessed to be a part of this great nation. I believe you're blessed to be here in God's church to hear the word. I believe that we are blessed here at Oak Hill with the peace and the love and the sweet fellowship that we share here. It's a blessing, friend. Don't take it for granted. I want you to know, though, this morning that God's grace is what's sufficient for our eternal happiness. There's never been more sin than there's been grace of God. Take just a few minutes and decide, is God's grace sufficient for me? The Bible tells us to give thanks in all things, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. And I know that hard things happen to us, but God is greater than our situation. And He proved that over and over again, but especially when He sent His Son and when He raised Him from the dead. Do you know that Jesus is coming back? And He's going to get those of us who've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. And then He's going to set up His rule and reign here on this earth for 1,000 years. And those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are going to rule and reign with Him. And then eternity. I don't know what your situation is, but I do know that you're blessed. You might be thinking, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the situation that I'm in. No, but I know God. And I know that He gave Jesus for you. And with God, and with Jesus in your life, nothing this life throws your way is greater than what God will bless you with when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when you live that life, the Bible tells us to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Well, preacher, that cross is pretty heavy. You know, I think of Jesus whenever He was toting that cross down the streets after He had been beaten. And He was so tattered and torn and weak. And He had to carry His own cross up there. Oh, they had to enlist a little bit of help for Him. But listen, if you think your cross is heavy, Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because His burden's light. Because He's already won. He is already victorious, and through Jesus Christ you can as well. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you something, friend. There is nothing in this world that will set you free like giving your life to Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, He died on the cross for you. And it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us very plainly that we are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. Have you accepted that free gift? Maybe you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you're struggling with something in your life. Let me just say to you, friend, that you can get rid of that burden right now, today, if you'll just give it to Jesus. You can bring it right down here to this altar and give it to the One who has the power to take it. Maybe you're here this morning and God's leading you to be a part of this church. Listen to the Spirit. We're not out trying to just get members, but if God wants you here, this is where we want you. If it's not, you need to find where God wants you so you can serve Him effectively. Listen to the Spirit. I thank God for the gifts that He's given us, all of them. But most especially, I thank Him for Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you have a need. You can give it to Jesus. He can take it all. If our song leader and our pianist would come, I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Our fathers, we come to you at this time thankful, so thankful for this great nation that you've given us and the years that you've blessed us with. And Lord, I pray that you would protect this nation and that this nation would still be a Christian nation and forging ahead and spreading the gospel when Jesus comes back. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray, Lord, that this great church that you've blessed me with being a part of, that you would just protect us, build a hedge around us, and keep Satan out. Lord, that you would build this church according to your will, that we might be found doing your will in this world. I thank you for each and every one that's came today. Lord, I pray that your will in their life would be accomplished here this morning. If there's any lost here, I pray the conviction of the Spirit that they would receive Jesus before it's eternally too late. Lord, we know from reading the Scripture that time is short, but we also know that you are all powerful. Thank you for what you've done for me in my life and the blessings that you give me. Your will be done. In your precious Son's name, Jesus, amen.
Page 191.
Thank y'all for coming. 4th of July, I love, don't forget what we're celebrating. Don't forget to give God thanks for what he's done for us. To our visitors, it's a blessing to have you here. We invite you back any chance you get.